Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, focusing on life-giving relationships and the family. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, chairman of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And today we have a program, a topic, a couple that I'm eager to introduce all of you to. And it's a topic near and dear to my heart because my husband and I are an adoptive family. We adopted our two children as infants. And so a program about foster care and adoption is what we're going to be focusing on today. And today there's a tremendous need for foster care. It wasn't there as much decades ago when my husband and I adopted, and our son and his daughters, our son and his sister's birth mothers made an adoption plan. It wasn't quite as common then to foster and to foster to adopt. So this is something that a great need has arisen at our present time, and we'll talk about that in our program, and talk about how to discern whether God may be calling you to investigate foster care or foster to adopt. And our guests today, and I think you'll love their story, are Stephanie and Joe Baird. Welcome to the program, Stephanie and Joe.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for inviting us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for sharing your story. And Stephanie and Joe are members of Immaculate Conception Parish, and they have five children. All right. Their five children are their three biological children who are now teenagers. And they also have an adopted daughter, Gianna, whom they fostered since birth. She's 3 years old now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they also have a foster son, 13 months old, named Ray. Mm-hmm. So a beautiful family. And I know you'll be interested in how did God build that family? Because God builds each of our families, doesn't he? And sometimes we have a plan. Our family's going to look just like this. And it usually doesn't work that way, right?
True.
We got to get on God's plan. So Stephanie, let me start with you. Because of your commitment to fostering and foster to adopt and the potential of adoption in your case, although some couples just foster and are not open to the foster to adopt route. But tell us, how did you, because I know it was you first in the couple relationship, in the family.
Sure was.
Who felt this call, that God was calling you perhaps to foster? How did that happen?
It goes back to when I was actually maybe 10. My parents looked into fostering when I was younger, and I remember them going through a little bit of the process, but at that time, I think just with finances and dynamics, they just decided it wasn't for them at that time. So it kind of, you know, gave me a little bug back then. Mm-hmm. And then I became I'm currently a labor and delivery nurse, and I started seeing more and more babies going into foster care, just with the opioid epidemic going on right now. You know, babies that are going on a safety plan or they need to go into foster care. And so I would be part of the delivery and birth of these babies, but then never know what happens after. So I think just seeing more and more of that just kind of became more of a calling for me to do more. Also, as a pro-life family, you know, we want to do more than just actually just be more proactive and taking care of these children. You know, thankful the mothers gave birth.
Sure.
And then, you know, helping after if they can't care for them.
Sure. And I may mention, because I know a little bit of your story as a little girl more.
Yeah.
Because I know your mother. And she was one of the original 20 volunteers at Pregnancy Decision Health Centers when we opened our doors in 1981. So you have had a pro-life family since day one of your life, that's for sure.
Okay.
Your conception, I'm sure, too.
Yep.
So you grew up in a pro-life home. You and your husband and family are pro-life, and you felt as a pro-life call when you saw these infants. That tell us why are infants that are born, like you mentioned, particularly during the opioid crisis, and even now when that's not quite as intense, why so many babies are being are going into foster care? Explain that a little bit more. They can't go home immediately after they're born. Is that correct?
It's all situational and it depends. The first thing they are trying to do is, you know, look at the background of the situation with the bio parents, kind of see what resources they have and support they have. If they don't have that support or they need, you know, more of a plan to be able to become better parents and get through their addictions, then they will go into foster care temporarily. That's the goal. It's a temporary situation. And during that time, they're looking for kinship. So they're looking for families or relatives or friends of the family that might be able to help out temporarily. And that's kind of the first plan of action.
The first option.
If they can't find kinship family, then they open the door to foster families. And then obviously the parents get on a case plan, and we are keeping a loving, safe home for those babies until their parents can work their case plan, if they can.
If they can, yeah. Yes. And so sometimes those babies do become available for adoption, and sometimes it's what is called kinship adoption, some relative in the family. Sometimes it is actually the parents that have fostered the child that become open to adopting the child. So we're going to talk a little bit more at the end of our program, if we have time, and I think we will, to talk about the process, in case someone's listening who says, well, how would I even investigate becoming a foster parent? How does that work? So, okay, Stephanie, you got this kind of nudge call as you were seeing all these babies that needed special care. And your husband's looking at you with kind of a smile and loving eyes.
Nudge.
That was it. It was a big nudge. Maybe it was more than a nudge. Is that right, Joe?
I don't know who nudged too, but
she nudged me for sure.
Okay. That really was a definite call then. So when she came home and broached this subject, Joe, I wonder if we're called to foster these babies. What was your initial reaction?
I was not interested.
You weren't interested, okay.
I felt pretty comfortable in my life, and I, you know, change like that, I think, was something that I couldn't get my mind around.
Yeah.
But I also knew quietly that I was comfortable and needed to do more. I needed to try to step outside the box a little bit. So I quietly was open to it, even though everything that we did, I think I went kicking and screaming.
Oh, yes, he did.
He sounds like a real normal husband. When the wife has a little nudge or a calling, this is kind of normal, I would say.
Somebody else can do it. You know, that was my thought. But, I knew deep down that I felt like we needed more people to do more things.
Yeah.
To stand in the gap.
Yeah.
To instead of putting a sign in your yard to, you know, maybe get involved a little bit more, you know. And so we decided, I think, that, you know, it was a good step to take to at least investigate to see if it was for us.
Okay, that's good. And what was the first step that you took, Joe?
We went to a foster agency. They had an open house, and we went and spoke to them, and it was a Christian-based background. And I just, at that moment, I felt like, okay, we can maybe take the next step. And so we ended up signing up for, our first training class. And in that training class, there was actually a video, and I was still not even 100%. I wasn't even 50%.
I just
promised
her
I would go.
One step at a time.
Yeah, so that I could watch the game on the weekend. And you know, I said, okay, I'll do this for you. And we sat in that first training class, and there was a video, and they put on, and the person on the video had said something from a verse from Matthew, and it was anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it.
Wow.
Yeah. And that at that moment, I just
that
like
touched you.
Yeah. I just felt like, you know, we can do this.
Yeah.
So
isn't it beautiful?
That was it for me.
Wow. Sometimes God gives us a very clear message.
Yes, it was very clear.
Yeah, and the truth, sometimes the words, it is the words of the Bible. They just pierce our heart, and we know that that message is for us. Yeah, well, that's beautiful. So it's amazing, but I love the fact that you just had to say yes to one step at a time. You know, that's, I think, something that I've heard again and again when God is calling. Most of the time, you can't foresee exactly what this is going to be. And
no.
If you try to foresee, it's pretty scary. So you,
yes.
But at least you're willing to take one step at a time, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes God may lead away from that choice. You know, maybe not everyone is called to this, I'm sure. But for you, taking each step, you could do that one step at a time, and then you really heard from the Lord.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree with that 100%, actually.
That's beautiful, beautiful how God works. He knows he has to take us gradually. You know, one of the phrases that I like is, if it is a calling from the Lord, you know, God really then has to do it. You know, it's a God-sized task if it's a calling from him. So it's a God-sized task, and he will do it through you if it really is his call. So, well, tell us about then after you decided, all right, we're going to go through this process. All right, let's go to Stephanie. You took the classes, and then what happened? They after you got approved, you got the first call that they had a child that perhaps would you be open to this?
Correct. You know, and before that, you could do what's called respite services. So as a foster family, respite services is basically providing care for a child that's already in foster care for another family.
So, okay.
You know, maybe that foster family needs a little one-on-one time with their other children, and they just need a weekend or, you know, it's just to kind of give them a break.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, as a foster family, you can just say yes to this temporary respite, which might just be a weekend. So the child already has a foster family, but we're helping them out.
And did you do that?
So we did do that. Okay. We did that actually for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Over Easter.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah.
Over Easter.
Yeah.
So that helps you get your feet wet.
Uh-huh, yeah. I would bet.
Yeah. So we did that for 10 days and absolutely fell in love with this little guy we had for 10 days and stayed in contact with this family throughout his life who they'd
once he went back to the foster family.
Yes.
Okay.
So we did that. And then I think a couple months later, we got a call for a 7-month-old that needed pretty much emergency placement, and he picked up. What they do first is they'll call you, your agency will call you and say, this is the situation. Are you open to saying yes? And again, it's that yes. So we, you know, we discussed it briefly and said yes. And then that goes back to the Franklin County Children's Services. And then they kind of choose the family that child's going to be placed in. And so they chose us. Mm-hmm. And so we got that little guy, and we had him for 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And then was he placed in a kinship adoption? Because
yes.
I know that's the preference. They like to find family members who are open to adopting.
Yeah, unfortunately, his biological parents weren't able to work their plan, but they did have some relatives that we knew were kind of found out about his placement and were interested in helping out. So we formed kind of an early relationship with them and did some slow transition when we found out that he would be going to them, because sometimes these, you know, they find a either they get reunified with family or they go to kinship family, and it can be sudden.
Be a shock to them.
Shock to us, you know, like all of a sudden pack your, you know,
yeah,
baby's bags. They're,
this
they're
day,
going. Yeah.
He's leaving you yeah. and coming to this other family.
Right. I mean, they try not to do that, but we really kind of advocated for, you know, let's work with this family. And they were very open to that because they appreciated that he had grown attached to us and our children. So it became a beautiful story because he ended up going to them. So that we knew he would still be in our lives. They were open to that.
Huh.
So he could come visit us and everything. Well, they ended up adopting him. And then, anyway, there's a story. He we still see him. Aww, you know, he's six now. So
he's six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, because I'm skipping ahead in the story, but I know that Gianna is the little foster baby that you ended up going foster to adopt.
Correct.
So tell us about Gianna, because she's now a permanent part of your family.
She is. And I think that was kind of the thing when we took our foster classes, we were like, we just want to foster. We just want to be like a temporary little loving home for these little ones. I guess we never realized that adoption was kind of part of that potential process.
And you didn't think about that at first.
No, we had no idea. And we weren't really in it to adopt, mm-hmm. to be honest mm-hmm. with you. We were mm-hmm. like, oh, we just want to be foster parents. And mm-hmm. But they encouraged us during our classes to get licensed for adoption, just because then you find out some of these children don't get reunified with any family or biological parents. And so, you know, they are go to adoption. And so...
Can I interrupt your story mm-hmm. for just a minute? I just realized we're about halfway through our program. Okay. And for any listeners who's just joined us, our guests today are Joe and Stephanie Baird mm-hmm. from Immaculate Conception Parish, who were called to foster and now actually then realized they had a call to adopt at least one of these babies that they have fostered, and that's Gianna. So Stephanie's telling us about Gianna right now. And then we want to talk about how they're also now working to help other couples who are thinking of fostering or fostering to adopt with a special group that they're forming at Immaculate Conception. So, but let's hear Gianna's story and your story with Gianna, Stephanie.
Okay. So we received a phone call for Gianna when she was just 3 weeks old and was in the NICU, having some withdrawals from drugs that were used in utero. And so we went and picked her up, and we had her. It was kind of a cut and dry case. The parents were pretty much out of the picture from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you knew that when you fostered, you might go to adoption.
Early on, we kind of, you know, you mm-hmm. never know. You have to give it quite a few months and mm-hmm. court dates and everything to know where this case could go. But yeah, pretty early on, we knew this may be an adoption case. And that's exactly what it ended up being. And, you know, after we had her for a year, it went to permanent custody, which then clears the pathway for adoption. And obviously we're the first family that they ask if we're interested in adoption. Of course, we said yes.
So, Joe, was that a hard decision at that point? I mean, because you had not started out thinking we're going to be adopting
right.
and adding children to our permanent family.
Right. Yeah, we never really got into it to adopt. Well, we have three biological kids of our own, uh-huh. And they're you know, they were enough.
They were a handful because they were teenagers, yes. right?
Right, yeah. Right. But you know, you realize that the kids get attached, mm-hmm. and you get attached,
sure.
and your biological kids get attached,
sure.
You know, and so it ends up being a situation where, you know, for us, we didn't want to transition her
mm-hmm.
again,
right?
At that age, and so we wanted to be opened to, you know, whatever God's call was.
And so, again, you were taking one step at a time.
If 100%.
She becomes available for adoption, Lord, you know, we're open to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we actually ask our biological kids before we even decide, you know, uh-huh. what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, what's their thought on it? You know,
yeah.
So they have a lot of input as well.
That's beautiful. What a lesson you're teaching your biological children as well, right? Just like you were raised in such a pro-life family, probably you were too, Joe.
I was,
yeah,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. So now you're doing that for your children and seeing how will God call them to live out that pro-life call in their own lives. Well, so I know, because I talked to Stephanie ahead of time, I know a little bit about Gianna's story. Tell us, Stephanie, about when Gianna's baptism.
Okay, so after we adopted, we were pretty, you know, antsy to get her baptized.
Sure.
And so our previous, our first placement, Dion, with his adoptive family, they actually were are Catholic. And so that was a blessing. And we decided to get both Gianna and Dion baptized together. And Kathy Brett, Dion's adoptive parents, asked us to be Dion's godparents. So we had them both baptized at Immaculate Conception. And I always say
so
that
Dion was your first foster child.
He's the one that did the kinship adoptive.
That went into the, and you mentioned earlier that you were able to keep that relationship.
Correct.
So even it was such a close relationship that the babies were adopted at the same time. I think that's such a neat story.
baptized at the same time. Yeah.
I'm sorry, baptized at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing, again, how God is building families, building community. And that building community leads me to ask, I'm sure that's one of the reasons, Stephanie, that you're, because you know God's put you together with other foster families, with other families who have fostered to adopt, or families that are involved in a kinship adoption. Mm-hmm. So you've seen the need for a support group. And let me just mention that Stephanie's also attached to the organization called Springs of Love. And there is a website, springsoflove.org, which really offers a lot of specific information and beautiful stories to help couples discern, are they being called? And how would you take the first step? It's a very, very helpful website. But one of the things that Springs of Love has realized, the couples involved with that, is how much support is needed when people are discerning. So, and you're shaking your head, Joe.
Yes.
You need to support through this from other couples.
Us dads need support, a lot of support. No, but our families have been extremely supportive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and you do need help, you
sure.
know, it does take a village.
Yeah.
You know, so right. I agree with you.
So you are working to start a support group at Immaculate Conception. Tell us a little bit about that, Stephanie.
Okay, yeah, we are starting kind of a Springs of Love team, care team, that is a new ministry that we are launching at Immaculate Conception. And what this entails is just kind of wraparound support for families in the Catholic diocese that may be foster or adoptive family or kinship family, mm-hmm. and providing support. And we don't know what that's going to look like, mm-hmm. but we're going to offer some different ideas. One of that may be, you know, one of those may be just like a meal that you provide for them monthly. So we're going to like gather some volunteers to be part of this care team. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to identify the needs of whatever families might benefit from this.
Hmm.
And maybe it's just like prayers. I mean,
sure.
it's just, you know, that's what we found. There weren't a lot of Catholics in our community that are doing this. So mm-hmm. we kind of were on an island, and then we found a couple, but it would be great if we had more support from our Catholic community. So that's kind of what this is
going
to do.
So you're not talking about couples, a support group just for couples who have already fostered or adopted. You're thinking, would other couples who wanted to help this group, even though
right.
they're not fostering or adopting, by supplying meals or prayer chain.
Yeah, because we know not everybody is called to foster. And mm-hmm. so therefore this gives them, but they're interested,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's different ways you can do that.
Sure.
It's providing respite, providing a meal, maybe, you know, forming a relationship with that family, and just, like I said, providing prayers, support.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be one part of our mission, is the care teams. The second part will be a support group, like a monthly meeting support group.
For people who are in foster
correct.
Care.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be foster, kinship, families, adoptees, you know, just to come together and talk, because mm-hmm. there's a lot to talk about.
Sure.
And there's a lot of support that's we would love to have from, you know, others, and some guidance that actually Springs of Love is going to be working on, like a Catholic implemented program that will be part of the support group.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things, again, you see how God just has even more for us and more help than we would have even imagined. One of the things you told me, Stephanie, was that when this idea was broached at the parish, and you do have the parish support now and the pastor support for this group, that tell us about the social worker in the parish who just stepped forward immediately.
Yeah. So we just did a kind of a Springs of Love was part of our Tuesday giving. And so somebody was at the pulpit talking about Springs of Love and this mission that we were going to start at IC. And one of the parishioners came up and was like, you know, this is near and dear to my heart. I'm a social worker. I would love to be involved in helping, you know, facilitate the support group or whatever
so
you may need.
She has done facilitation of support groups. I mean, this is really her mission. Mm-hmm. And she heard the word and said, step forward. Yeah. Right. So that's what God does. You know, you just take the first step. Hopefully that leads you to the second step and the third step and so forth to discern. And then God brings the resources. Just amazing. So tell us about we've just got about a minute left, Stephanie. Tell us about that Springs of Love website, springsoflove.org. Just some of the things that are there that could help people.
It's a wealth of information. From video series of families that have gone, their different stories, mm-hmm. From fostering or adoption, kinship, and then also how to get started with a care team if mm-hmm. you would like to do that in your parish, mm-hmm. All the steps to take.
I believe they have, don't they have an online retreat
they
that
do.
People can
yep.
take? Okay, you don't even have to go someplace.
Right.
You can have a more of an in-depth retreat on this whole subject just online.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal.
Yes.
Because Springs of Love is a national movement. All right. But it's wonderful to see how you're getting started here in Columbus with the first support group. And Joe, thank you so much for being with us and telling the story from a man's perspective. And Stephanie, thank you. And God tapped you first and then brought Joe in right away. And now your whole family, the children, it's beautiful. Thank you for your story. And you are listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn. To find this program again, and we're going to be doing another program with Stephanie on foster and adoption, you can find those programs. Go to stgabrielradio.com, choose the podcasts, and then The Family Sanctuary. Our program is broadcast at 4 o'clock on Saturdays and 2 o'clock on Sundays right here on St. Gabriel. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intends.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.